All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just invite your presence into this room now, Lord. We invite your presence into the church, not the people. We're asking for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in the people, not the building. So, Lord, we ask for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit to come upon us. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds so we are open and receptive to your word. And I would ask, Lord, that you guide me, that I will be able to speak words we need to hear. And all of God's people said, amen. We're going to pick up on our story in Jonah. And the bottom line in the story of Jonah is that souls matter to God. How many know souls matter to God? They matter to God. And your soul matters to him too. Everybody in this room, somebody told you about Jesus Christ. How many were told about Jesus Christ? And you know, that person that told you, God said, go over there and tell that person. Arise and go talk to that person. And because that person was obedient, you learned about Jesus Christ because somebody told you. Scripture says, how are they to know unless they are what? Told. How many are glad somebody told you? How many understand and how many truly can say, I'm glad that somebody took the time with me. I am glad that somebody believed in me. I am glad that somebody didn't think I was worthless. I am glad that somebody didn't cast me out to the curb. I am glad that somebody invested their time with me. How many are glad about that? It's reciprocal. How many's ever heard that saying, pay it forward? How many's ever heard that? Pay it forward, right? What somebody did for you, you can do to somebody else. But the reality of it is, you want to pick the list, right? You want to pick the list. You want to make sure it's the warm and the fuzzy people. You want to make sure it's all the wonderful, beautiful people. And Jonah finds himself in that situation. God says to Jonah, arise and go where? To Nineveh. I don't want to go. Let me go anyplace other than that. Not Nineveh. And we talked about that last week, that probably every one of us have a Ninevite in our families too, don't we? Everybody has a somebody in your family. Everybody has a somebody that you work with. Everybody has a somebody that lives on your street that's a Ninevite to you. How many would admit that right now? You know we all have them. And what we want to do is we want to run away, and we don't want to run to. We want to run away and not run to. Let's turn to Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. A little review. Jonah 1, 4 to 5. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. We talked about that last week. How many have a hard time sleeping at night sometimes? How many of you know, you just know you want to go to bed and you want to lay your head down and sleep just doesn't come? Who has that situation right now? Hey, it's not because you don't have a bed, you got a bed, right? It's not because you don't have a pillow, you got a pillow. It's not because you don't have a blanket. It's not because your house is not safe. It's not because you don't have heat. It's not because you don't have those things. It's because your mind races. How many have a mind that races? It just doesn't shut up. Who said all night long? And that's the way that it is. And the harder we have to control it, the worse it gets. And sometimes we lay there and we toss and we turn and we toss and we turn, and our mind just doesn't shut up. But look what's going on with Jonah. Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was what? Fast asleep. What's that tell you about his mind? It's okay. What's it tell you about his thoughts? He's okay with this, right? He is perfectly content. He is perfectly content. He's run from God. He's perfectly content with it. He believes he got away with it. Everything is fine. He's gotten away with it. And he's what? Sleep. How many know you can run, but you cannot hide? You can run, but you cannot hide. We talked about that last week. Jonah, fast asleep. While upstairs, on the deck of the ship, the waves are howling and the waves are crashing. And everybody is afraid they're going to die. But what is Jonah doing? Sleeping. We talked about that last week. Oh, you know what? You think you're alone when you sin, but you're not. Oh, you might be by yourself, but you're never by yourself. How many understand that? How many understand that your choices have consequences? And your choices that you have made, bad or good or bad, have affected others around you. How many know that is absolutely true? Every choice that you make affects somebody, good or bad. Every decision you make or do not make affects somebody, good or bad. And Jonah has made the decision. He made the decision to be disobedient to God. He made the decision to run from God. He made the decision, and he's okay with it because he's what? Fast asleep. Now, everybody on deck's not okay with it. They're afraid. They're dying. And how many of you understand that when you make those choices in your life, you're okay with it, but everybody else is dying? But it's okay because you're only concerned about who? You. How many's ever been concerned about yourself? It's true. It's absolutely true. Now we know upstairs on the deck, we know what's going on. We know that all of the mariners are taking all their cargo, and what are they doing with it? They're throwing it. Their livelihood. They're throwing away all of their resources. They're throwing it over. And what are they doing? They're throwing it over and worshiping their gods. They're sacrificing everything that they have to their gods. And what is Jonah doing? Sleeping. Jonah is sleeping. They're worshiping their gods. He's running from his. They're afraid they're going to die. And he's what? Sleeping. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 1 verse 6. And so the captain of the boat is thinking this through. The captain of the boat is saying, wait a second. What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Come on, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Do you understand that right now the captain of the boat is being more righteous than Jonah? He's waking Jonah up. Hey, Jonah! We just been praying to all of our gods. Come on, get up. Do what you're supposed to do. Get up. Pray to your God so that we may not perish. Uh-huh. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, that all the pagans prayed to theirs. And Jonah's running from his. They're all praying to their gods for calming in the storm. And they're not the ones who went it up. God did. And Jonah, the one that could stop it, is the one that's what? Sleeping. I wonder, truly I wonder here at church today, what do you do in your storm? Sleep? When the storms of time are crashing all around you, and you're afraid that you are going to die, and all the turmoil in your life gets so heated up you don't even know which way to turn. Confusion, disappointment, frustration. Anybody ever been in that situation before? And it just seems to be getting worse. The cycle and the cycle and the cycle. You get up and it's worse, and you get up the next day and it's far worse. And what do? You sleep. Instead of what? Pray. And you wonder why. Everybody always wonders why. There's so many people that I counsel. They beat on their chest and they say, why, why, why? You know why? Because you matter. That's why. Because you matter. And somebody wants you to turn your life around. Somebody wants you to go in a different direction. Somebody wants you to quit being disobedient. Somebody wants you to finally do it their way and not your way. How many know some of the reasons why we're in the shape we're in is because we did it our way? How many are really experts at doing it your way? I mean, how many strong-willed kids we got in this room? I mean, I'm going to do it my way. Well, how's that working out for you? Really, truly, how's that working out for you? We celebrated somebody a half a century old today. Half a century. How's that working out for you?
Good, I feel good.
Do you? Are you better today than you were 20 years ago?
No.
I certainly think you should be better today. You're doing things differently, right?
Yeah.
And so how many have seen the light and you've turned towards the light?
Yeah.
How many are saying this morning? You know what? I may not yet be where I want to be, Lord, but I thank you I'm not stuck where I was.
Thank you.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
And every one of us get these storms. Every one of us have this calamity. Every one of us has trials and tribulations. And here's the difference. Here's the difference. Some of us, when we get all these problems, we look at everybody else. We look at everybody else. All of my problems in my entire world are you. If you were different, if they were different, if my work was different, if my residence was different, if everything was different, I would be better. And guess what? No, you wouldn't. And the reason why is because you are still there.
Yeah.
The problem's not everybody else. The problem's who? You. The problem is you. And you have to start looking at your life and evaluating everything and say, geez, what do really, truly happy people got that I ain't got? And you know what? And it's not tons of money. How many in this room are really, truly happy? How many are happy and content with their life? I'm happy and content with mine. And it ain't because I got a big bank account. It's because I got a big God. Help me understand that. And that's the difference. You will never get everything you want in life, but you will get everything that you need. How many's got everything they need? I got everything I need. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And the captain of the ship wants Jonah to fess up. Get up there and pray to your God. Come on, we prayed ours. We are way more righteous than you, Jonah. Wake up. It's time to wake up. And Jonah needs a wake-up call. And guess what? Some of us do too. Some of us have been sleeping on the job. Some of us have been sleeping way too long on the job, and it's time for a little wake-up call. How many ever had a wake-up call? How many had a wake-up call right in the nick of time?
Right on time.
Right on time, right? Right on time. Let's turn to Jonah, please. 1:7-10. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause this trouble has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And what people are you? And so he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. And I fear God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Do you notice that when they cast lots, it was kind of, you know, maybe a coincidence that the lot fell on Jonah? You think it was a coincidence?
No.
Nah. You think it was a perchance thing that he was in the storm? Is it a perchance thing, you think? Nah. See, they're casting the lots. Kind of look at it like this way. They got a bunch of black balls and one white ball, right? And they're going to cast lots, and the one the white ball falls on, you're the guilty one. Coincidentally, it just worked out that way, right? No. No, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Proverbs 16, 33. Check it out, church. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. There's no coincidences. How many people do we say, what a coincidence? Oh, yeah, right. How many no longer believe in coincidences? How many know coincidences when God's working, you just don't know about it? Oh, they can cast all the lots they want, but I'm sure the white ball fell where the white ball is supposed to fall, right? I want you to look at all the questions. Isn't that something? Hey, when you turn from God, all the questions start coming, don't they?
Right.
Especially when somebody knows who you are or who you profess. That's when all the questions start. Look at the bombardment of questions, right? Look at the bombardment of questions. Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you? A lot of questions. A lot of questions. There's an amazing thing about some of us anymore. When you profess to be a Christian, when you profess it, and you decide to be disobedient to your God, You know, you don't probably get a lot of questions anymore. You kind of get stuff like this.
Really?
I mean, no, that's the big question, isn't it?
Really? Really?
The truth of the matter is, they're questioning Jonah. They're saying, why did you do this? Are they saying, why did you do this to you? They're saying, why did you do this to who?
Us.
Us. Hey, church, let me ask you a question. You know, probably not many of us ever going to go on a ship going up to Tarshish somewhere. That's probably true. We're probably not going to be in a boat with a bunch of mariners. That's probably true. But we're in a boat with a lot of people called a family, though, ain't we?
Yeah.
How many's got a family of some sort? How many know they're in your boat? And how many know the decision that you made affected everybody in the boat? Every decision that you made, disobedient or otherwise, affected somebody in your boat, and you all got somebody in your boat. And while you're fast asleep, everybody up top is what?
Perishing.
In your boat. With you. With you. And everybody in our lives are saying, wake up! Come on, wake up! This is your responsibility. You did this. Wake up! But what do? Sleep it through. Sleep it through. Captain of the ship and the mariners are saying, Jonah, we know it's you. We know it's you. Because we've been on this route before. We've never been in a storm like this before. We've been down this road many times and we've never, ever, ever had something like this. And we've been watching. Well, how many know you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool the people all the time? And they're shaking their fist at Jonah. Come on, Jonah. It's you. It's you. We know it's you. Let's look at Jonah 1:11-12. And then they said to him, what shall we do to you? But the sea shall be calm for us. For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. And then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. You know what's fascinating about that passage of Scripture, church? I'll tell you what's fascinating about that passage of Scripture this morning. He'd rather be dead than repent. Let's talk about that one more time. He would rather be thrown into the sea and die before he'd say, I'm sorry. I wonder how many of us run into that same pattern. I'd rather die than say I'm sorry to you. I'd rather die than admit I'm wrong. I'd rather die before I ask you for your forgiveness. I'll show you, God. I'll show you. How many run in that situation yourself too? The truth of the matter is 10 steps is too far sometimes to ask somebody for forgiveness. A phone call was too hard to call somebody on the phone and say you're sorry. You know that, I know that, and he knows that. And Jonah is saying, I'd rather be thrown in the ocean and die. My sense of justice, I'm willing to die so that they don't have to die. I'm willing to show God what justice is all about. I'm willing for you to throw me in the ocean and die so that all of the mariners won't die. I'll show you justice, God. And I wanted you to show justice for the Ninevites, but you couldn't. I'll show you justice. Throw me overboard. He'd rather do that than what? Repent. He'd rather do that than repent. You know what that's called? Pride. Anybody have a prideful heart in this room today? Thank you for being honest with me. Anybody got some pride going on sometimes? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Talking to me that way. Don't you know who I am? God had a conversation with that one person a lot one time. Don't you know who I am? God is in charge, not you. And lives matter. Your life matters, and everybody else's life matters.
Yep.
And he's running. And he says to them, throw me overboard. I would rather die. I would rather die than turn back and go the other way. It's all about disobedience and pride. God says go to the east. Jonah says go into the west. God says go to Nineveh. Jonah says I'm going to Tarshish. Anybody tired of running from God yet? Oh, you can run, but guess what? You ain't hiding. You can run, church, but you ain't hiding. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Jonah chapter 1, verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. What did Jonah just ask to be done to him? What are they doing? They're rowing. They are more gracious to him than he was to them. And they're pagans. And they're pagans. He says, hey, I know. I'm the problem. I know. I'm the problem. You want to save yourself? I know what you need to do. What do you need to do? Throw me overboard. Well, what did they say? No. Let's row. They have more grace towards his life than he has towards theirs. He has more hatred for the Ninevites than they have for him. Isn't that something? Did you know this, church? Did you know this? There may be people that you're willing not to minister to that love you more than you love them. Ain't that something? Did you know there may be people in your life that you run from that look up to you? Did you know that there are people in your lives that may love a second to sit down with you, but you run so very fast away? It's true. Oh, we pray for them. We're really good at praying for people. We'll pray for the lepers. I'm serious. If I brought you a whole bus full of lepers, we'd all be over here praying to them. Oh, Lord, heal the lepers. Oh, Lord, heal the lepers. Heal the lepers. But what are we called to do? Go to them. What would we do? We'll pray from a distance, right? Oh, Lord, send somebody over there. Lord, send somebody over there and pray for them. Lord, send somebody over there to heal them. Lord, send somebody over there. Lord, I'm praying hard. Go send somebody and put some hands on them. But guess who the somebody is?
You.
It's you.
Hallelujah.
It's you. But we have all the excuses in the world, don't we?
Yes.
Aren't we all just so full of excuses sometimes? Mm-hmm. And we wonder why the storms come. Let me give you something to think about here this morning, church. That big old storm that God brewed up, that did not direct Jonah's path. That did not predetermine what Jonah was going to do next. Do you know what that storm was for? To give him another opportunity to rethink. You know, God constantly pursues you. He's not going to give up on you. And when the storms come, it's not to force you to change direction. It's to give you another opportunity to think your life through. How many's ever had a whole bunch of storms in your life? One after the other, after the other, after the other. And you're trying to say to yourself, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through one trial after another, after another, after another? And God says, because you're not listening yet.
Uh-huh.
You're not paying attention. Turn your life around. And maybe the storms will stop. You see, the truth of the matter is God loves you more than you love him. And the truth of the matter is God chose you. You didn't choose him. And that storm of life that Jonah is in was not forcing him to make a decision. It was offering him another chance. Did you ever look at your storms and say, God, thank you for the storm? I mean, how many of us really truly get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for my trials. Thank you for all of my obstacles. Thank you for my storms, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for helping mold me into the kind of person I want to be. You know you're not. You thank him for your blessings. You thank him for all the good things. When's the last time you thanked him for a good storm? I mean, a really good get you on your knees thing. I mean, a gut-wrenching, oh, Lord. I mean, when's the last time you thanked him for one of them? See, the storm in his life didn't make him choose. It gave him another opportunity to choose. Let's turn to Jonah 14, 15. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." And so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. You know what has to happen now, church? Jonah needs sacrificed. He's going to be sacrificed now. He's thrown over. And the interesting thing about the story of Jonah, look who they're praying to now. Who are they praying to now? The Lord. See, they're no longer praying to the pagan gods. They're praying now what? To his Lord. Through his trials, through his adversities, through his story, through all of those storms that he's been in, he's now praying to their God. You know, sometimes you need to have some sacrifices in your life too. It could turn some people around. Sometimes, church, if you're willing to let some things go, if you're willing to give up on some things, it could just turn some people around to start praying to your God too. But sometimes we just hang on, don't we? We just hang on. I remember a story of a silversmith. And the little kids went to a silversmith to find out how silver was going to be refined. And they all gather around the silversmith, and old guy dressed in costume of the time had a big old fire going. He had a big old kettle. And he put in the kettle these old dirty looking rocks. And he put the rocks in the kettle, put the kettle in the fire. And the little girl raised her hand and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making silver." "How are you going to make silver out of them dirty old rocks?" He said, "Well, you'll see." So he brought it out, looked at it, stuck it back in, and put some more wood on the fire. The little boy raised his hand and said, "Hey, how hot you got to get that fire?" And the silversmith said, "I don't know. I never tested it. Pretty hot, I suppose." Wow, he said, "Okay." And he pulled it out and put it back in. The little girl raised her hand and said, "How long is this going to take?" Silversmith said, "I don't know. I never timed it." So the little kid said, "Wait a second, mister. If you don't know how hot it's going to be and you don't know how long it's going to take, how are you going to know when it's done? How are you going to know when it's done?" And the silversmith said, "Oh, that's the easiest question. I don't know when it's done." He pulls that kettle out, looks at it, puts it back in. The kid's getting kind of bored. Puts some more wood on the fire, puts it in, puts it out. "How is it going to be done? I don't know when it's done." Picks it out. This time looks inside, says, "It's done." Little boy said, "Well, how do you know it's done?" He said, "Well, come here, don't touch the pot now. It's awful hot. Look inside, tell me what you see." Little boy looked inside and said, "Oh, I see myself. Well, that's how you know when it's done. When you can look inside the pot and see your reflection and all of that stuff's burned away, it's done. That's how when it's silver." You know, God's like that. You see, God's like that with you. God says, "You know what? I need to burn off some stuff out of your life. You don't need that stuff. You think you need it, but you don't need it. You think it evolves around all that stuff, and you don't need it. What you need is me." And he puts you in the refiner's fire, and he burns that stuff off. He looks at it, puts you back in, burns that stuff off. And when he can look in your life and see his image, you're done. How many's got a way to go yet? And that's that sacrifice part. That's that. You don't need that. You don't need that in your life. You don't need that or this or that or this. What you need is me. And what Jonah needed was God. So the mariners sacrificed him, threw him overboard, and the sea immediately ceased from its raging. Let's look at Jonah 1:16. "And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows." Isn't that something? Did you know that when you're willing to be the sacrifice, did you know that God can change your lives? That when you are willing to be used by the Lord for His purposes, you can change some lives. Did you know that somebody came to you to change your life? Anybody glad about that?
Yeah.
And you know what, church? What God did for you, God can do for somebody else too.
Right.
What He did for you, He can do for somebody else. Let's look at Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is that of the Lord. And I think we all know the rest of the story, right? Jonah gets thrown overboard, and what happens just to be coming by? Fish. Just happens to come by, huh? At the right time. You know, in the New American Standard Version of Scripture, it says in that story when the fish comes by, it says that God appointed a fish. I didn't want to run that by, okay? God appointed a fish to go by. It's kind of like the Uber fish, right? God appointed the fish to do what? Go pick him up. Isn't that crazy? Hey, you know what's really crazy? Check this out. Check this out. What's really crazy? The fish. Check this out. The fish was more obedient than Jonah. Ain't that something? The fish was more obedient than Jonah. Jonah says to the Lord, nah, I'm not going to Nineveh. God says, oh no, you're going to Nineveh. Oh, you're going to Nineveh. Fish, I want you to go by. There'll be a big old ship in the water, and somebody will be thrown overboard. Pick him up for me. Pick him up. And keep him in there for 3 days. Does anybody know why 3 days? Think it through. Why 3 days? How long was Jesus Christ in the tomb? 3 days. Mm-hmm. 3 days in the belly of a fish, in the bottom of the ocean, to get him to repent. You know, some of us haven't hit rock bottom yet. Some are close, maybe. Maybe some haven't hit bottom. Maybe like this far. And you know you haven't hit rock bottom yet. You know why? Because you say things like this. How much worse can it get? When you get rock bottom, you're on the bottom. How many's ever been on the bottom? I mean, when you're on the bottom, you know, no more. But if you're saying this to yourself, how much worse could it get? Guess what? It could get worse. Oh, it can get worse. And when you're at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and there's no other place to look but what? Up. Quit digging. Start filling it in. Start filling it in. Lives matter. Yours matters. The Ninevites matter. Everybody in this neighborhood matters. And I am thankful. I am thankful for people in my life that knew I mattered too. How many are thankful for at least one person that you mattered to them? I'm serious, that you mattered to them. And everybody in this place, you matter. You matter. And we're not going to give up. We're not. The whole problem that we have with the story of Jonah, disobedience. Oh, you can run, but guess what? You cannot hide. And when God chose you for a specific purpose, guess what? He chose you. You don't run and get the pastor. You don't run and get the elders. You take care of it. Who God sends you, that's your responsibility. How many admit that? It's your responsibility. You don't go get me, go get Pastor Colin, don't get in. You take care of it. If God sends somebody across the street to your house, you take care of it, because that's your job. That's your job. You don't sit there and pray that somebody else will do it. It's your job. Now, you might be saying to yourself today, so why am I here today? Well, because you matter. Because you matter. As clearly as that casting of lots, as clearly as that casting of lots was not a coincidence, surely as that fish just happened to be going by that boat at that time was not a coincidence. Guess what? You sitting here is what? Not one either. Because you matter. And you matter greatly. And you matter greatly. And the Lord wants you. And he will not stop pursuing you. He just will not do it. Anybody thankful that God has perseverance?
Yes.
Anybody glad God doesn't give up on you?
Amen.
Thank God for God. Thank God for God. When so many of us have been cast aside by so many relationships in our lives, prodigals matter. How many prodigal sons and daughters we have in this room? Praise God for the prodigal sons and daughters, right? And you matter. So when God asks you to do something, church, I have a couple suggestions for you. Here's some suggestions for you. Do it. Before the storms come. When God says go to the east, go to the east. If he says go there, go there. Because I can assure you, you're going to go. You're going to go. It just depends on what kind of shape you want to be in when you get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the hearing of your words today. Lord, I am grateful and I am thankful, Lord, that so many people are gathered here today. I am. And Lord, I'm not foolish. I probably know some are here because it's Pastor Appreciation Day. Well, thank you for that, I guess. Thank you for that. Lord, but everybody's here because they matter to you. And we're grateful. And we're hoping, Lord, that even one small thing that could have been said here today, even one song that could have been sung, a prayer that could have been uttered, would make a difference. Because, Lord, time's running out. Time is running out. And while you have long suffering, that's true, there will be a time when that comes to an end. And that will be whenever you decide. So, Lord, I thank you so much for everybody gathered here today, Lord, and help every one of us know that we matter. We matter greatly. We matter greatly. And Lord, help us to understand that when we make decisions, we're never doing it by ourselves. Or we may be alone when we do it, but we're not by ourselves. Other people matter too. Lord, we thank you this morning for the storms in our lives. We thank you for new opportunities to make different decisions. We thank you, Lord, that you have got our attention from time to time. And we don't have to keep wondering anymore, why do these things happen? They happen because you're giving us more opportunities to be different. So thank you, Lord, so much for loving us enough to chasten us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you never stop following us. And thank you, Lord, that you never stop loving us, that you would never give us another chance. In your wonderful name, we pray these things. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen.